Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Hello?
Pastor Matango, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Lovely, thank you. And great to have you here, man. I hope that your day's been going well.
It's been extremely busy.
It's been busy. Well, I know it's a Friday, so we're trying to make sure that we are getting to the Sabbath before the sunset and everything is ready. Now, first of all, are there any circumstances under which one might need to be rebaptized? Can one symbolically die multiple times?
I think the question is answering itself.
Sorry,
to know that death comes only once.
Yes, yes.
Yes. It is destined for men to die once and after that to live again in Christ. So there is no way in which we can die
a few times.
Yes, you die only once. So this is what Christ is saying to us, that we are dying once. And that's how the Lord placed it. So I believe that the issue of death, as we all know it, it only comes to us once. I'm not sure if I should go further or I'm just responding to that.
You can go further. You can go further, Pastor, because I'm interested. Because I've seen people being rebaptized.
Very interesting question. When people get to be rebaptized, one of the things that I've learned is the issue of knowledge. That really, at times, some people don't know why they are being rebaptized. Because when we are talking about this, we appreciate that death comes only once, and then after that, resurrection in Jesus Christ. So this is the same thing that also with the issue of baptism. There are some people who have come and say, I was baptized when I was still young, so I don't know what I was doing, blah, 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 and things like that. Also, we need to discuss that and see how best we can assist those individuals who fall under that category, so that at least they may appreciate what it means to be rebaptized. So yes, baptism only comes once, and after that, resurrection in Jesus Christ. And then we have what is called the dedication. Somebody is saying, I was baptized when I was still young. I didn't know what I was doing. So you just need a prayer of rededication, so that you can be reintroduced into the church and start all over again. But an issue of saying that you are being rebaptized. No, there is no such a understanding. Remember, yesterday I talked something about circumcision in the Old Testament, that baptism or being welcomed into faith was through circumcision. And you also remember that the children of Israel, they are in the River Jordan only once as they are leaving Egypt going to Canaan. So all those ideas probably could have been used in the olden time to talk about baptism. And one person argued, if that being the case, then how does somebody get circumcised more than once? So which means baptism only comes once. You are baptized only one time and you live in. So when you are saying, I have been lost, I need to be rebaptized, it's still an interesting debate that is still ongoing, where some people have said, of course, fine, if somebody had a public sin, like, for example, adultery, like a child out of the wedlock, and they've done public something, then they need to be rebaptized. But really, there is no scripture to rebaptism.
Mm. Now, can children be baptized? I mean, I've seen many a denomination baptizing children, infants, and, you know, I've seen many of these. Can actually children be baptized?
Children cannot be baptized for one reason. Baptism is an informed decision whereby somebody is saying, I have decided, and this is the direction that I'm taking. And for that reason, when you are being baptized, you are coming into Christ. You are living in Christ, a new life in Jesus Christ. So what it means is that you cannot be rebaptized. You cannot baptize children because they are not deciding for themselves. Historically, the reason why children were being baptized is because the church was political. Remember, Rome was fixing both politics and church, and because they wanted numbers for people to vote for them, and all the children that were being baptized. And for that reason, at the end of the day, it became a tradition to have children being baptized at a tender age. They didn't know what they were doing. They just grew up as Catholics, and they became part of the system. So when they were counting numbers, they were counting all those who were baptized, whether they were young or they were old, they were already part of the system. So as far as votes were concerned, the numbers. So we are saying when one is to be baptized, they need to be old enough. They need to have information. They need to be taught. They need to accept the gospel so that they can be baptized after they have known what the Lord wants from them. I remember Jesus Christ is being baptized when he's already over 30. There is Augustine of Hippo, he refused to be baptized. He said, I'll be baptized at above 33 because I believe that I don't want to go back again. We also have people like Clement. We also have one whose mother said, my son cannot be baptized at this early age because I want them to sin. So baptism at an early age is not biblical. Historically, we know where it is coming from. And from early church fathers, they were baptized when they were way above 12. So baptizing children is not acceptable because they don't know what they are doing.
Now, does one need to qualify for baptism? And what are the prerequisites?
Sorry, I lost the last part.
I'm saying, does one need to qualify for baptism? And if so, what are the prerequisites?
For one to be baptized, remember, we are looking at Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to 20, where the Bible saying, go ye therefore and teach. Are we together?
Yes,
baptize,
yes.
Teach again. So qualification for baptism is to be taught. You look at Acts chapter verse number 38 to 39. It says, when they had things, they were cut to their heart, and they asked, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized of your sins. It has been after a long sermon, Peter, as he was narrating how they received the gospel, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and how these people had in the past cried, say, the blood of Jesus upon us and upon our children. And for that reason, now when they have received this gospel, they repent, and they are being told to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And this is why we are receiving this gospel in this manner. So people need to be taught. They need to know the truth. They need to repent. You can't just go into the water as if you're for a bath or for a swim. You need to repent, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you will be saved. These go together with baptism. So that's the qualification of baptism. People need lessons. People need to know what they have to be taught.
That's a fantastic one. Now, there's a writer by the name of Ellen White who wrote, I'm going to quote this one, no one should be buried with Christ in baptism unless they are critically examined whether they are seized to sin. Now, here's a question. Now, she says no one should be baptized unless they are critically examined whether they have sinned. I mean, whether they have stopped sinning. Now, the question is it our duty to examine each other's lives Do we have the authority to ban someone from baptism because we have deemed them unready?
Yes. Remember, it is Paul that one day we are going to judge angels. And he says we need to look at it as we are living so that we can help each other on issues to our salvation. Remember, there are things that cannot be tolerated or acceptable in the faith. Sin is sin, whether small or big. So what it means is that as brothers and sisters, we have a responsibility of taking care of each other. Remember, God is asking Cain, and he says, where is Abel? In anger, Abel is saying, I, my brother's keeper. He is responding to something that he knows, that we have a responsibility of taking care of each other. If I see a brother, that is John, if you read the epistle of John, he says, if you see a brother sinning, and it's a sin not unto death, pray for them. But if it is something that can affect them, you need to go to them and talk to them and correct them. So yes, it is our responsibility to take care of each other. If I see a brother abusing drugs, I have a responsibility of talking to him. If I see a sister on the streets selling her body through prostitution, I have a responsibility of talking to her and letting her know that she needs to come to Jesus Christ. So yes, it is our responsibility to examine. And remember, there are things that you cannot continue to be doing. For example, you cannot be drinking alcohol. You cannot be smoking certain foods that you cannot be eating. You cannot be engaged in prostitution and things like that. So definitely, we need to talk about these things to say, sister, you have received Jesus Christ. You need to stop doing these things. Remember also, Paul talks to the Church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And he says, I have heard disturbing news that one of you is sleeping with his own mother, and the church is condoning it. And Paul is correcting them and says, you need to talk to these people. If we have such admonition, it means we have a responsibility to take care of each other in instances where we have things that we believe need to be corrected, because the Lord is going to hold us accountable for the knowledge that we already have, and we keep quiet and help the brothers. So before you are baptized, you need to stand before the board members who are going to help you issues of faith, issues that affect our daily life. And also the board members need to be in a good repute. Their names should not be mentioned in these bad things, because can you imagine, we have those who are looking at others, and while it's there, also there are challenges. And somebody tells you, we were drinking alcohol together. How do you correct such a situation? So yes, we need to talk about these things and correct them wherever possible.
Pastor, I must ask you one last question before I let you go. Now, can someone be baptized in the Seventh-day Adventist Church who does accept Christ, which is a prerequisite according to Scripture, but does not accept the writings of Ellen White, perhaps due to not having even having examined her work?
People need to be taught. As I said initially, people need to be taught. They need to understand and appreciate. One danger that is there is that people are forced into a religion that they don't understand. They need to listen and understand. Because when we get to the...
Pastor, are you still there?
When we get to the point of baptism, we have gone through lessons. You have appreciated what the Bible is saying. And when you are coming to a faith, you are coming to a faith that you appreciate and understand. So that at the end of the day, when people are giving you vows, you need to understand those vows and appreciate them. So the challenge is that people assume that people have information. Remember, back then we had classes. 1 year, 12 months, where you are in the baptismal class, learning and appreciating what the Bible says. So I will personally say, why is to be taught? they need to appreciate so that they are taking those vows. They are not surprised of what they are being asked, but they are responding to things that they have learned and appreciated. So the teachings of White are part of the fundamental beliefs of the church. It's part of the doctrine of the church to appreciate the teachings of Ellen G. White. So you cannot be partial, meaning to say, if you don't appreciate the teachings of Ellen G. White, it may be difficult to be baptized. I know some people be baptized just for the sake of being baptized, but you need to consume all these lessons awesomely and appreciate the lessons and teachings of Ellen G. White. And one of the reasons why people have failed to understand and to grasp Ellen G. White is the issue of context. They are failing to appreciate that the lessons of Ellen G. White come with context, where you understand why she's bringing certain lessons to certain people of a certain country at a certain time. Those lessons are important so that when you are getting baptized, you appreciate the Bible and the teachings of Ellen G. White, knowing that the teachings of Ellen G. White are a lesser light leading us to a bigger light, the Word of God.
So in a nutshell, one cannot be baptized if they have accepted Christ, but not the writings of Ellen White.
I would say the vows, the teachings of Ellen White are part of it. And when you are taking the vows, you are saying, "I'm going to do this."
So they cannot. So they cannot be baptized.
I believe that you need to take all the vows. If you are not part, if you don't get all the vows, then it simply means that you have not responded to everything. Then how do you get baptized when the ideas that you are saying you are not are not part of what you believe?
So
then, which means you are failing to be part.
So effectively, if you accept Christ as your personal savior and you believe that He is the Son of God, but you say not Ellen White, I've not read that, then we're going to say to that brother or sister, stand aside. We're not going to baptize you.
The church then sits down and make a decision on that individual. Let me not make a statement from this end, but it is a decision that is made by the church board through the pastor in the conference to say we have a brother here who is saying no to the teachings of the Ellen G. White. And from that end, they can make a decision of what they want to say. As far as the church manual, I have not met it yet. I'm yet to research and find out because it is a very interesting question. So effectively,
as we stand, as things stand, and according to your understanding, if you are not accepting the writings of Ellen White, but you are saying, "I accept Christ as my Savior, He died for my sins, He is the Son of God, and I'm waiting for His return," but put aside Ellen White a bit, until I examine her at a later stage. You are saying the church says, no, you stand aside. Let's deal with people who are serious.
I would say yes, because remember, when we are taking these things, we're taking them wholesomely. If somebody wants to pick things that go with them, then which means we may remain with one vow at the end of the day. Someone will tell you that I don't see anything wrong with my alcohol. So I can do everything else, but the issue of alcohol, I'll continue with it. Somebody can say, no, the issue of tithe and offering, I don't agree with it. So I can do anything else, but the issue of tithe and offering, I don't go with it. So I believe that the church is a system that operates within a body where there's an agreement of certain things and doctrines that the church moves by. So you cannot separate other things and keep other things. So if you want to be baptized into the Adventist church, then you have to pick everything wholesomely. Failure to which, definitely, yes, you can be set aside for a while until you have made a decision.
Pastor, I must thank you so much for your time. It has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for setting time aside to speak to us. Have a fantastic weekend. Blessed Sabbath ahead until we speak again in the future.
Thank you. God bless you too.
Blessings. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.